Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is LNP 75, Screening Medical Malpractice Cases for Merit. My name is Pat Iyer. Whether an LNC works in a law firm or is self-employed, requests to screen medical malpractice cases are common. In this edition of Iyer's Insights, I share tips for screening two common types of cases, falls and medication errors. Falls are common in healthcare settings. You can perform an invaluable service by screening a fall case for merit. A fall that results in injury, such as a fracture, head injury, or paralysis, may present an appealing case to a plaintiff attorney. But the attorney stops and thinks, is this really a good case? Should I get a nurse to take a look at it? A plaintiff attorney contacted me while a client sat in his office. The client said she woke up in the middle of the night on the floor. She was an alert and oriented nurse who was receiving morphine after knee surgery. She insisted that she fell the night after surgery. Unfortunately for her, the chart said otherwise. She fell 2 days after surgery. Two previous plaintiff attorneys had turned down her case, and she was looking for another attorney to take the case. I could not see a clear source of liability and told the attorney that. In another case, the nursing home staff member found a previously alert and oriented nursing home resident on the floor. She did not know how long she lay there. She couldn't speak. A CT scan of her brain was taken at the ER, and it showed she had suffered a stroke from a middle cerebral artery hemorrhage. This area is deep within the brain, not on the surface, as is seen in a subdural hematoma. Very likely, the stroke caused her to try to get out of bed, and she fell. The presence of her brain bleed prevented administration of TPA, so finding her earlier would not have made a difference in her outcome. There was no clear-cut source of liability either. The LNC screening a fall case for merit did not recommend that the attorney pursue the case. The sound of a body hitting the floor brings healthcare providers running. This type of fall may occur if the staff do not use proper body mechanics, or the patient is uncooperative, or a transfer requires more people than were actually used for the procedure. Taking shortcuts, cutting corners, and being rushed can spell disaster. The result may be a fracture, a head injury, paralysis, and death. The situation is worsened when the staff members involved do not report what happened. Cover-up of a medical error only worsens liability. I've asked myself, what drives the urge to cover up? Is it fear? Is it guilt? Is it desperation? They may push the facts underground. In one case I was involved with as an LNC, two aides dropped a patient while transferring her into a Hoyer lift. This is a hydraulic lift. The patient suffered two fractured hips. The aides did not tell anyone for fear that they'd lose their jobs. In another case, an aide tried to transfer a patient from a bed to a wheelchair, and the patient fell, fracturing her leg. The aide did not tell anyone what happened. Subsequent nursing staff observed the patient crying in pain, and the truth came out. In a third case, the fact that a woman's leg was fractured became evident when her broken bone eroded through her skin. You are asked to be involved in screening a fall case for merit. What will the defense assert? In the absence of any documentation to explain how the fracture occurred, the defense may assert the fracture was a spontaneous one. This theory is based on the concept that bones may become brittle and fracture on their own. This is certainly possible for patients who have certain diseases such as cancer, hypoparathyroidism, Paget's disease, and severe osteoporosis. However, spontaneous fractures of the hip are rare and should stimulate a suspicion of trauma. The facility administrators need to perform an investigation to talk to the nursing staff involved in caring for the patient before the symptoms of the fracture were detected. And an orthopedic surgeon and radiologist should review the x-rays to look for evidence of bone disease. Healthcare facilities need always be concerned that staff have adequate equipment and help to safely move patients. In most cases, when a fracture occurs as a result of negligent handling or dropping a patient during transfer, these cases are indefensible. These are some tips for screening a medication error case for medical malpractice. A legal nurse consultant may screen a medication error case for merit. The LNC recognizes that it is often easiest to screen a case by starting with the damages. What happened as a result of the alleged medication error? Permanent severe damages have the highest potential for providing compensation, assuming that liability and causation can be established. I'm going to share with you some cases involving medication errors. The first involves an Alabama case. A 62-year-old man went to the emergency department because of extreme weakness, fever, and a dry hacking cough. The physician diagnosed him with pneumonia. He had a typed list of medications he was taking. The list was put into his hospital record. He took lithium carbonate for a total of 900 milligrams per day in two doses. He took 300 milligrams in the morning and 600 milligrams at night. At the time of his admission, his lithium level was normal. When the patient's medications were transcribed by a nurse, the nurse wrote the lithium as 300 milligram tablets three times a day for a total of 2,700 milligrams instead of the 900 milligrams the patient was taking. His doctor, who was Dr. Meka, checked the form but failed to recognize the error. The patient received 11 days of 2,700 milligrams of lithium. He deteriorated and he died. The patient reached a settlement with the doctors and the nurses for $1 million, leaving Dr. Meka as the defendant in a trial. The jury awarded $1.85 million and subtracted the $1 million already received in settlement. Nurses need to understand that lithium is associated with a significant risk of toxicity. This was a fatal transcription error. Here's another case. A physician prescribed an infant intravenous fluids of D10W at the rate of 4.5 cc's per hour. She received fluids at this rate for 2 hours. When a nurse hung a new bag, she set the IV pump to run at 405 cc's per hour using an IV pump intended for adults. The infusion went at that rate for 46 minutes before another nurse noticed the newborn looked puffy. The infant's blood volume increased by 250% and her weight increased by 20% in less than an hour. A physician was able to lower the infant's glucose levels while bringing up her sodium levels. She was diagnosed with brain damage and had a low IQ and difficulties with executive function. The case settled for $7 million in Illinois. It is hard to understand how a nurse could identify 405 cc's as the correct rate of infusion for an infant. I can speculate the nurse did not deliberately set this rate, but the results were severe. In another case that focused on potassium chloride, this was a medication error that killed a woman. a nephrologist wrote an order for a patient who came in for an elective amputation of a gangrenous toe. She was on dialysis for end-stage renal disease. The nephrologist wrote an order for 10 milliequivalents of potassium. The physician changed his mind and attempted to write a 2 over the 1 in the original prescription, changing it from 10 milliequivalents to 20 milliequivalents. The nurses and the pharmacist interpreted this as 120 milliequivalents, which is a fatal dose. A nurse administered it for 4 hours until the woman had a cardiac arrest and died. The hospital settled for a confidential amount, and the nephrologist admitted that the prescription was not clearly written, but argued that it was unforeseeable that such a high dose would be administered without being questioned. The hospital's computer tagged the order for confirmation, but no one confirmed it. The jury concluded the hospital was 90% liable and the doctor was 10% liable, and the jury awarded $379 million. This was a Texas verdict that was reduced to $37,000. What did you learn from this case? You would expect nurses and pharmacists to question a dose of potassium chloride this high, yet it slipped through the safety net. Screening a medication error case involves first looking at damages. All three cases meet the criteria for involving significant damages and liability. The causation element is also clear. I have a question for you. Is working as an in-house legal nurse consultant at a law firm right for you? Can you create the most value for your skills? What are the pros and cons of this fast-paced role? And this role often includes screening medical malpractice cases. An experienced LNC employed by a prestigious law firm shares her knowledge on how to maximize the role of the in-house LNC. In a program that I produced called Secrets of Success for Working as an In-House LNC, you will learn how to most effectively look for and secure a job working in a law firm. You can learn how to differentiate your role from that of a paralegal and make yourself invaluable to attorneys. And also, the program focuses on how to expand upon the rewards and challenges of this role. This was presented by Beth Zorn, who works as an in-house LNC for a plaintiff personal injury firm. She is a past president of the American Association of Legal Nurse Consultants. Order this training at this link, http://lnc.tips/in-house. Use the code LISTENED to get 20% off of the purchase price. And that link again is http://lnc.tips/in-house. Use the code LISTENED to get 20% off the purchase price. Thanks for listening.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.